Avos Perkei Mishnah Yud 5:10, and some Mishnayos is 5:13. Now this Mishnah begins a series of Mishnayos that basically says there are four kinds of people. Okay, I always like to joke that there are actually three types of people: those who can count and those who can't. But our Mishnah says there are four types, and there can be a bunch of different four types of peoples in different ways. We'll get to that shortly. I think it's best that we don't read the Mishnah inside first, as I usually like to, and instead we're going to discuss the whole thing outside. The reason why is because there's something kind of confusing about the Mishnah. Although it says there are four types of people, according to how the Mishnah reads on its face, it lists five different types of people. So that gets confusing. So let's just not discuss the Mishnah inside first, discuss it outside, and then we'll come back to seeing the words inside. So the basic point of our Mishnah here is that there are different ways in which people relate to personal property and property rights and enforcing property rights. So the basic gist is that a typical person feels that what he has earned by honorable means, fair and square, is his, and what you've earned by honorable means, fair and square, is yours. And there's no reason why I should have to share with you from my stuff. And there's no reason why you should have to share with me from your stuff, even if I'm vastly richer than you. But if I've met my obligations, I've paid my tax, I've given my tzedakah, what's left is mine by rights, and I have no reason to have to share with you. Okay, and you have no reason to have to share with me. That's considered to be a typical person. Okay, now, again, we're not talking about someone who's not giving, who's not paying his taxes, we're not talking about someone who's not giving his tzedakah, we're saying above and beyond that. This person is considered typical, and now you could have someone who is not just typical, but actually we'll call him the giver. The giver says that what's yours, I wouldn't ask of you. You've earned it fair and square. It's yours to keep. But you know what? I'm a giver. I'm happy. If I can help in any way, don't hesitate. I'll lend you my car. You can put your friends up in my basement. Whatever you want, my pleasure. So this person is looking to give. So he says, what's yours is yours. I don't want to receive from you. Sonam atanos yichyeh, says the Pasuk. Someone who hates gifts will live. And I'm interested. I don't want anything from you that I don't earn fair and square. But if I can help you, I stand at the ready. So he's ready to, what's mine is yours. That person is a chassid. Okay, above and beyond the letter of the law. Beyond the typical. Then you have someone on the other extreme, the Rasha, the wicked person, who says, what's mine is mine. I have no reason to share with you. I've earned it fair and square. I'm entitled to it. But his sense of entitlement is so much that he says that I'm really entitled to what you have. You know, it's a chutzpah if you don't have to share with me. And to different degrees, he feels entitled to borrow or maybe even to steal what isn't his. Or, you know, to mislead you and, you know, cheat you out of stuff even. That person's a Rasha. Okay? So that's wicked. Now, that basic three-point continuum is the core of the Mishnah, okay? Typical person, Benoni, mine is mine, yours is yours. Chassid, the giver, what's mine is yours also, even though yours is what's yours is yours. And the Rasha, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is also mine. Okay, now there are two kinds of outliers from this basic continuum, okay? One outlier is the person who is opposed to private ownership in principle. They don't want to have personal property. They say, you know, money is the root of evil. They want to fix the world by essentially embracing, why can't we just all share and get along? Then no one's going to be rich. Everyone can be equal. And they essentially want to live in a kibbutz. They want a commune, okay? So they want to do away with private ownership, but everyone can take what they need and everyone can share amongst each other. And that would make the world a happier place. The Baruch Hu uses the lesson of tikkun shel ha'aretz. The other Rabbeinu Yonah calls it tikkun ha'olam, fixing the world. This is an idealistic place that has been an impulse that human beings have had since long before Karl Marx, another wayward Jew, but obviously the time of the Mishnah. But it continues to this very day. People have this idea of, can't we just all share and everyone take what they need, each according to their needs, each contributes according to their ability, and this will make the world an ideal place. And the truth is, maybe it's even true, that in theory that will be fantastic. But the problem is, in practice, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for two basic reasons. And if you look at the large, you know, communist regimes, they didn't end up well. None of them did. And even like on the communal, you know, the communes, the kibbutzim in Israel, so the kibbutz is like a thing of a bygone era. There's almost no kibbutzim left. They've all essentially imploded because it doesn't work. The only kibbutzim that still are around, the ones that are very rich. Okay, if you're very rich, you can afford to, you know, everyone have no private ownership because there's so much to go around. But otherwise, it doesn't work. So in practice, you have two actual problems. The first is one of incentive. Okay, the reason why you can't get condos into work on a nation state level is because the old joke is that in Russia, in communist Russia, we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us. The idea is that people, if they're not going to earn more by working harder, they'll have no incentive to work hard. And therefore, no one works. There's no production. There's nothing to go around. The people in charge are corrupt. They steal, and everyone else essentially has nothing. So in practice, it just doesn't work. It's a practical problem. There's a second problem, which is more like a fascinating conceptual problem, a Shkafic problem, which is if you haven't got private ownership, then you're sort of unable to give of yourself. You can't share of your property because you don't have property to share. So you're disempowered. In other words, the way that the Torah's framework of how to relate to tzedakah, and I'm changing the topic back to tzedakah for a second, but tzedakah, let's say, you know, if you assume they're talking about Maaser Kesafim, that 10% of everything you get, you're supposed to give to charity, let's say. So the way like Hirsch, for example, describes it is that when you earn 100 for the week, so 90 of it is yours for you to enjoy, and the other 10 is not yours, it never was yours. It's the poor people's, and it's your responsibility to allocate it to love the Africa, poor people even. It's there for you to allocate to the world to make the world a better place. That might be to take care of poor people, or lend people money, or build up yeshivas, or whatever it is that you think is best. Hashem has appointed you as his trustee. He's authorized you over this little trust fund of the 10 to make the world a better place, and it's your prerogative how you allocate it, and of course, you'll get tzchar according to how well you deploy that money, but the point is it's yours to allocate. So you have private property, you can make the world a better place. That's very empowering and ennobling. And if no one has private property, then you can't do that anymore. So you haven't got the joy and the fulfillment, satisfaction of being a benefactor, because you can't. Okay, and the Torah system is that every Jew should see himself as being a benefactor because everyone's got income, assuming they have income, and they become a trustee. Hashem has appointed you, every man, you and me, as Hashem's trustee to make the world a better place. So we feel like we have our tzedakah projects, we feel like we're givers as opposed to takers, and that's very ennobling and empowering and makes us feel great, and it's very good. So a second problem of no private ownership is you're unable to do that, okay? So the person who thinks that money is the root of evil, and he, in principle, it's against the boundaries of property law, so it sounds like a nice thing in theory, but in practice, it's a bad idea. That person's called the Am Ha'aretz, the simpleton. I'll translate loosely, okay? On the other extreme, there's someone who is an outlier in the other way. He, as opposed to wanting no boundaries and laws, he wants the laws for the sake of the laws. He says the laws themselves, the boundaries of property law, are good for society in and of themselves. And when you give people what they haven't earned and then they don't deserve, you're actually making society a worse place. Okay, you're making them become dependents, and you're letting them become entitled, and they are not going to contribute to society. And therefore, even if a person is needy, for you to share with him is actually making him weak and making society a bad place. And therefore, we want to enforce the laws that people specifically should not share what they have with other people. Everyone should learn to man up and support themselves and take responsibility and own their problems and even if it means this person is you know he's gonna hit rock bottom, good, let him hit rock bottom, and then he'll climb himself up again and make a man of himself. That's the idea. Okay, so this is called Midas Stone, the attitude they had in Stone that Hashem overturned. They want to enforce din for the sake of din. It's against the law to do kindness to other people. And the way the Chazal described this is not just that you want to help someone else, but you want to help someone else even if it doesn't hurt you. See, the typical person, the Beinoni, he says, listen, why should I, I've got earned my money fair and square, like, why should I give it to you? But sometimes it's not going to cost me anything. It doesn't hurt me in any way. But the Midas Stone person says, listen, even if it doesn't hurt you, it's hurting society for you to share. And therefore, you shouldn't share. This person should learn to become self-sufficient and take responsibility and own his predicament in life and not rely on others. So the Midas Stone people say that the bounds of proper law should be enforced even if, in and of themselves, for the sake of the betterment of society. Kind of the same way the other extreme of the people who are the communists who want to break no private ownership for the sake of betterment of society. So the Torah is deeply opposed to that. Hashem can't be sold that, because in the end of the day, don't forget, everything comes from Hashem. So to have the sense of, you know, what's mine and mine and yours is yours, that already is borderline objectionable, okay? Because actually, none of it's yours and none of it's mine. It's all Hashem's. Hashem's given to me. If Hashem has blessed me with more than I need, or even just blessed me with more relative to you, so why shouldn't I share with you? And to not do that is really terrible, okay? And Hashem, of course, couldn't be sovel, couldn't tolerate what went on stone. We turned stone upside down. You learned all the Midrash and what went on over there. The idea is that stone enforced the rules. You have to be exactly fit into the box. And to take in strangers and the like, as the story with Lot and the angels, is simply intolerable. That's the Sodomite attitude. And there are people like that today. There really are people who really feel that way, that you know, people shouldn't share because it makes society weak. So there you have essentially the five categories. Now, let me read the Mishnah insight because there's a couple more nuances than what I led on here. Mishnah's insight, Arba Midos Ba'adam, there are four attitudes towards private ownership amongst people. Ha'omer Shali Shali V'shalcha Shalach, the one who says what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. Zu Mida Benaris, that's a typical person. That's okay. V'yesh Omrim Zu Midas Stom, and some people say no, that's already Midas Stom. That already is really basically unforgivable. So now, there are two ways to learn this line of the Mishnah. The way the bartender learns it is we only have four people here, and this isn't saying that it's bad to say what's mine is yours is yours. It's just giving you a warning, because this is Karov, it's close to getting to Midas Stom. And the difference is, if you are motivated by saying, listen, why should I give up from what I have at my expense for you? I earn what I have fair and square. And like, I shouldn't have to give it to you. Why should I? It's mine. That's typical. But if a person says, I'm not going to share with you, even if it's not going to hurt me, it doesn't cost me, but just for the sake of it, right? Helping someone else when it doesn't hurt you, that to not do that is called Midas Stom. That's really objectionable. And if you think about it, it's like saying, you know, everyone is fabulously wealthy, you know, billionaires running around. So these guys, to help, to give away everything after their first billion won't affect them one key, who's that one drop, even the 100 million won't hurt, you know, last 100 million won't even hurt them one little bit. So to refuse to that already is meat of stone. It's already unforgivable. That's the mission's attitude. But according to Bartanura here, we're saying that for someone, a typical person, say what's mine is yours, that's just warning. You're getting close to meet a stone. Beware that you don't become someone who doesn't share and when it doesn't hurt you. Okay? Other people learn no, that even that attitude in of itself is objectionable. That is meet a stone. Because like I said before, if you relate to everything coming from Hashem, so even if you've given paid your taxes and you've given your tzedakah, if people around you need, you shouldn't say, listen, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. You should say, listen, everything comes from Hashem. Obviously, for whatever reason, Hashem enabled me to, you know, to have a lot, and you're struggling. So I'm here to help. I'm here to help, even so. And to not take that attitude is meat is stone. Okay, so it's objectionable in and of itself. That's another approach to the Mishnah here. Third says the Mishnah, Shali Shalach V'shalcha Shali. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. No private ownership at all. That's Am Ha'aretz. That's a simpleton. That's the communist, the guy who wants to share everything, no private ownership. It's a nice idea in theory. He wants Tikkuna Shela Aretz, according to Bar Tanura, Tikkun Olam, according to Rebbeinu. He wants to fix the world, but you know what? In practice, it doesn't work, like I said. You have Shali Shalach V'Shalcha Shalach. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is yours. I'm not a taker. I'm just a giver. I want nothing. That person is a chassid. He is above and beyond that alone. He's a giver. Like Lashon Chassid. Chesed is the opposite of din here. Chesed means breaking the boundaries. He's one who gives across the boundary. Doesn't matter to him. I should point out that Chazal said, charity begins at home and a person's responsibility to take care of himself and therefore and his family. And therefore, even if you want to give away your stuff, you shouldn't be giving away more than 20% of your stuff, okay? Because you need to take care of your own personal needs. You can't become a burden on society. There is a discussion in the post. I'm not discussing it now. If the person is a billionaire and he gives away, you know, not just 20, but let's say 80%, and so if it's just $200 million, he'll be just fine. Is that considered to be someone who's mevazvez? He's making himself exposed. With $200 million, he should be just fine anyways. So it's a machlokas in the poskim what to do. Okay, it's a discussion, not for right now, but the point is that this person is saying that, you know, he wants to give his stuff, but Chazal are saying, go ahead and give, but don't impoverish yourself. That's not right. You have to take responsibility first and foremost for yourself and your family. Okay, and finally, Shali, Shali, V'shalcha, Shali. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is also mine. He feels entitled. He feels like he can get away with, if he can get away with it, he will. So that person is a Rasha. He's wicked because he doesn't respect other people's property. He looks at himself as the center of the universe, pushing Hashem away, of course, and that is the definition of a Rasha.